Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of gathering together today. As we sit here in your presence, we pray for your unity, strength, and grace within our church family. May your love guide our thoughts, our words, and our actions so that we may be a light and a comfort to our community. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Today we got together with our church family to help some neighbors and those in need with their leaf cleanup.
We are doing Lover Neighbors, and Scott asked me if I could come and fill in for him. He's down in Florida, surprised the grandchildren, so that's great. How many of you believe that things happen not by accident? Yeah. Well, I was reading my devotions this morning, and It was in 2 Kings, extending God's care. And we're talking about loving our neighbors. And it is about Naaman. He was healed of leprosy. So if you want to look that up sometime, 2 Kings 5. It was about him being healed of his leprosy and extending God's care. That was, I couldn't believe it. I'd still do the daily bread. I've been doing it since I was little, preteen probably. He lined that right up for today. And there's a lot of things in this book here that are lined up for us for today. And we are going to look at, Scott asked me to talk about the blessings that I have received and blessings that I've given to other people. So it was kind of hard to get going to think of coming up here and talking about things that I've done for others. That's really hard. And it took a bit to get going because that was my mindset of I felt like it was gonna be bragging. I've done this and I've been able to help that person. And then God kind of switched my thinking as to sharing, yes, how I've blessed others, but I have been blessed also through that. So last week, Scott talked about in Luke, the teacher of the law that tested Jesus and asked him, who is my neighbor? And he told them the parable of the Good Samaritan. And it shows that the Good Samaritan had noticed, first of all, the Jewish man that was walking along the path that got robbed, beaten up, and he was the only one, the Samaritan, was the only one that stopped to help him, and he had compassion on him. He made a connection with him, took care of him physically and financially, and he broke cultural boundary. Jews and Samaritans did not even talk to each other. So Scott had shared that last week. And I also want you to notice that it doesn't say that the Samaritan made the Jew obligated to him in any way, money form, or pay him back for what he did for him. So there was no obligation for him to pay him back either. In that story, the teacher of the law quoted Deuteronomy 5 in Leviticus 19:18. And I'm going to quickly, that was Matthew 25 that Scott, I mean not Matthew 25, sorry, Luke. I'm going to share in Matthew later. I hear changes of the pages. That's just for Kim.
No, so we're snacking, that's why.
It was you? Oh, okay. He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. So we're going to look at a few things. We're going to look at some blessings that I have been able to bless others with and blessings that I have received. And then we're going to look at Christ's example, which we should, he has, if we could go through the whole New Testament looking at Christ's examples. We are commanded to love our neighbor. Who and what and where does love even come from? The world has their definition of love. We have talked about love. Scott has done that, talked about where love comes from. And love, oh, is it going to work? There we go. Love is of God. In 1 John 4, 7 through 21, I don't know about you, but my Bible sticks together sometimes. Mm-hmm. So in there, it says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So we ought to love one another. We love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. So only through the Holy Spirit, only through that Holy Spirit, bless you, can we love our neighbors, right? So if love is of God, we need to have the Holy Spirit within us. Oh. Okay, sorry. Love is an action. He places people and situations in our lives for a reason. Sometimes to be a blessing, sometimes it's for us to receive a blessing. And sometimes we don't even see that blessing until we reach heaven, either in our lives or that person's life. I cannot love without having the Holy Spirit. 46 years I've had the Holy Spirit in my life, and I have been able to be a blessing to others, and I have received multiple blessings over all those years. I don't want to go back 46 years, and you don't want to either, because then we'll run past lunchtime. So he's asked me to pick a few. So it's kind of hard, but Scott had remembered a few that that he has seen in my life. The fall of 2018, I started working at Dairy Queen. And you have regulars. And I was the cashier for the restaurant part of it, where you come in and sit down or take and go, whatever, and taking orders and making the ice creams and things. And there was this elderly couple that were regulars there. And I got to know them. And I was able to only work at DQ like September to May and be able to work for the YMCA every summer. I was able to do that, thank goodness, because it's crazy at DQ in the summer, if you ever go there. I don't know if I could handle it. So I met this couple, Don and Margot, elderly couple that came in probably a couple of times a month. They would come in and got to know each other, and they always wanted to know, what did you do this summer with the kids? So we would catch up every fall and let them know. So as I was getting ready to leave Dairy Queen and then starting to work for Portland Schools, driving a bus, I was kind of telling my regulars I'm going to be leaving and that I wouldn't be there anymore. And Don and Margot, sweetest people, I mean, I knew them, but I never went over their house, you know, like outside of DQ. We only knew each other at DQ. And they said they were going to really miss me. And they said, you know what? We want you to be our tenant. I'm like, well, I don't even have my CDL yet. I don't have the money to find an apartment yet. I was living with somebody, another woman, and I said, well, when I get my CDL, I'll have a pay raise, and you know. And they're like, no, we have a tenant right now in our in-law apartment above the garage, and we want you to live there, and we're not going to renew their lease come February. Now, this was October that I was getting ready to leave DQ. And I said, well, I should have my license by then, but don't worry about getting your license, okay? So we exchanged numbers, and I said, yeah, we'll keep in touch, right? February, I get the phone call. It's yours, the heat's been on, just bring your mattress. He's moving out the last week of February, so come on over. And I said, well, I haven't gone for my CDL, it's in March. It was Friday, March 13, I was going for my CDL.
Oh, far out.
Yes. Yes, I heard that all at work. So I'm like, I don't know, it doesn't matter. The heat's on, just throw your mattress on the floor. It's all cleaned, we cleaned it, it's yours. But I don't have a deposit. You know, don't worry about a deposit, we'll work on that later. I'm like, wow, they really want me there. And I was driving from Lymington, so something in Westbrook compared to Lymington looked a little, you know, much better. So, of course, I went for my license, didn't pass a couple of things, so then you can't go on the road, you know. So immediately, I got up a new time, like, yep, in 2 weeks, I'll go back and get my license. And then Monday, COVID hit. So, yeah. So I had the luxury of being paid to stay home and move. And since we didn't know so much about COVID then, I had friends that helped me. We didn't hug or anything like that. We were just like, yep, just move the stuff. So I was able to move into an apartment that I didn't pay for yet. And in that process of moving, the lady that I was living with said, you know what, I'm going to give you $1,000 for your first month's rent. Don't worry about it. The rent was $900, y'all, for a 900 square foot apartment. It was all gone. Then my parents said, you know what, we've got the second month. So I had 2 months to get my license and all and to save up for my month. And then I worked on the deposit just every month, just worked a little bit on the deposit. They said not to worry about it. So yes, they blessed me. That was a blessing to me. They provided so much in such God's timing. And in return, I was able to bless them. I helped them with their iPad, you know, the phone. Then they got a new finagled air conditioner that goes up to the window with a remote control. things like that, helped them around the house. And then Margot, her sight was going. She only had one eye. She had a glass eye due to something that she had gotten and it took her sight. And she came to me and needed help with her checkbook, balancing her checkbook. That is when you write in the ledger, you know, what you just spent, and you hand wrote money out on a piece of paper and gave it to somebody. Yes, I still do that. I still have a ledger. So she needed help with that. So I was able to help with her. We had a great connection. They were Christians, come to find out. So that was a blessing for 3 years. So then that leads me to my next blessing. You guys knew that I had to move out of that apartment because they ended up having to go into a home. Mm-hmm. And I was looking for somewhere to live. And I was going to buy a house. So I'm like, I looked for apartments. They were way too much. And so I was in the process of looking for a home. And I don't remember, Jen, but I think Scott, because he does this, you know, he does this. Hey, Jen, do you still have an empty room? Hey, Heidi. Jen has an empty room. Why don't you two connect? And we didn't know each other at all. We had just started coming, I think, the same time, you and your mom. So Jen had an empty room. I needed a room. And we made it work with the cat and the ferret. We kept them separate. Although her cat, I don't think she knew what it was. But anyway, so that led to me being blessed again with my basic necessities of needing shelter, a place to stay. And it was right in Westbrook, so it wasn't far at all to move from the apartment to Jen's, and moved in with her just in time for her to be going through her double mastectomy. And she was like, I might be getting some news. Does that change your, you know, decision to move in with me? I'm like, no, because evidently that's why I'm here. And I don't know about you, but I've tried. I can't cut with my hand. Thank you, Stephanie, for cutting my food the last women's breakfast. I actually had perfect a mom. She knew just how to cut it for me. I had options, too. But I was there for Jen's little dinosaur arms to, you know, help her with her food. Hopefully I brought some humor, my daily wisdom of things what not to do that I shared. But she was a blessing to me financially and physically, and shelter and companionship and laughter, and we grew to know each other quite well. And hopefully I was a blessing to her, not just through helping her physically, but helping her keep her spirits up and hopefully making an impact on your life. So those are a couple of things that led right into another. And this is God's, you can see God's timing in this. Another blessing that is not really a blessing that I received, hopefully my students received. I had some girls, my middle school girls, singing a song on the bus this year. And I was trying to catch up what they were, what the tune was, what song was it. They were going through the alphabet, and they were trying to think of a name in the Bible for every letter of the alphabet. Yeah, just singing it openly on the bus. And so I was thinking of some same names they were coming up with, and we got to, I think it was E or something, and so I piped out a name in the Bible, and they're like, Miss Heidi? You know that name? I'm like, yeah, you're naming names in the Bible, right? Yeah, we didn't know that. I said, well, I go to church too. You do? I'm like, yes, I do. They don't always know some of your private life, which is good, but hopefully that made a connection with them. And so I was piping up after that. They let me kind of interject in their song whenever I could. So hopefully I blessed them by knowing that there was something in common that we had, and that we're family. Also, I've been able to invite people. Do you all like to get invitations? Don't we love having invitations? Like, okay, not the little card that you open up and say, I'm invited to someone's birthday party. No, I'm just saying, hey, we're having a cookout, come on over. That means we're included, right, in that person's life when someone invites you to something. Well, in 2023, I was working, and it was a Saturday, and there was a sign-up sheet to work the Beach to Beacon. And it's very rare for Portland to do Beach to Beacon. They hadn't done it for years, and they probably won't do it again after this one. So they were doing the Beach to Beacon. I hemmed and hawed, because everybody's like, oh my word, Heidi, you're gonna be out in the sun. You're gonna be driving all back and forth between crazy traffic, and you know, we pick up the runners, bring them to the start line, and then we wait at the end of the line, the finish line, and bring them back to where they park. And you've gotta go through everybody in America that just left the race also, mm-hmm. and everybody that's trying to get to the race. So it is kind of crazy when you're driving a 40-foot vehicle and people aren't so kind. So I actually almost didn't do it. I hemmed and hawed, but I'm like, no, I signed up, it's extra money, just go with it. So I did it, and I was there with my coworkers. I saw this person who I thought I knew, and a coworker found out who they were, and I did know them, introduced myself, and invited them to church. They didn't like where they were going, and I said, well, Westbrook, First Baptist Westbrook, oh, we're just an awesome family. You gotta come. Oh, well, yeah, I know that person. I know those people. I know a couple people there. I know the pastor, yada, yada, yada. Just invited them, right? They showed up. They showed up to church a week later. And now they regularly attend our church, and they play the drums for the church. And they joined the worship team. And I might have kept them. Two. I might have kept him. He's a lifer. So my blessing is that I got a man that was made just for me. And his blessing, he got a perfect wife. Right? Come on.
We'll talk later.
Yeah. Oh, and beside that man is my friend Patsy. Patsy and I worked at DQ all those years. She saw me go through everything that I've been through at that time, and I've been inviting her to church and invited her to the ladies' breakfast. She has come. I invited her to Jan's group, our book club, and she loves it. And she has been trying to get to church. She usually works one day a week, and that's on Sunday. So she's finagling things that possibly she could continue coming and go to work a little bit later. So her blessing, hopefully, I know she'll be blessed by this family, and I know that her faith will grow. And she is building new relationships. And my blessing is that our friendship is growing, and I get to see her faith grow and those relationships grow. So let's look at Christ's example. I think I got these lined up right. Yes. So anytime I feel like that we are commanded to do something, if God is commanding us to do it, it's not going to be impossible, right? We can do it only through Him. And sometimes we might think it's impossible to love our neighbors. There are some people out there that are kind of tough to figure out. How do I show them kindness? How do I show them compassion? And Christ has quite a few examples in the New Testament through his life, even though it was short, 30-something years. It's not a long time, especially when it was his adulthood that he started his ministry. But there are some practical ways that Christ shows us with examples. There is the Samaritan woman at the well. Remember, she's a Samaritan, he's a Jew, not supposed to chit-chat. He told her everything that she had done in her life. What if somebody had done that didn't know you? You'd think that'd be kind of weird, huh? And he told her of her past. And what happened after that? It says that she went to her community and shared what Jesus just told her. And by us sharing what God has done in our lives, others may believe. And wherever he was, he loved on people. We have the woman caught in adultery in John 8. She was brought by some Pharisees to Jesus. And, of course, there's another teacher of the law trying to trap Jesus and was trying to trick him. And she's supposed to be stoned because she committed adultery. And he asked, okay, anybody here that hasn't sinned? Go ahead, throw the first stone. And what happened? They all left. And Jesus was very patient. We don't know what he was doodling in the sand, but it showed that he was very patient and very calm. And then he told the woman what? I don't condemn you either. And he said, go and leave your life of sin. And how was she blessed? She wasn't stoned, right? Mm-hmm. She wasn't condemned. She was forgiven and she was freed. And we too can receive that forgiveness and freedom. What about Zacchaeus the tax collector? I know there's a few of you like me that are vertically challenged, right? He couldn't see Jesus coming, right? And he went up in a tree, we all know the song, and Jesus found him and invited himself over to his house to have a meal with him. And what ended up happening? He repented and Jesus forgave and saved him. Whenever he was with others, Jesus was very... When you think about it, there's always a crowd, there's always people asking him to heal them, there was always people around, except for the times that he just spent with his disciples or prayed and had time with his Father. Whenever he was with others, he was with children. In Mark 10, he blesses the children, and he said the kingdom belongs to those that are like-minded. Whomever he encountered. What about those that lash out at you? Can you bless them while they're lashing out at you? It's very hard to keep our mouths shut and composed and come up with something kind or loving. Jesus was at a Pharisee's house, and he speaks about inviting others in Luke 14. Jesus responds in love. He always responds in love and forgives for what people are telling him and what they're saying to him. And he expects nothing in return. He expects nothing in return. The criminal on the cross proclaimed Christ innocent and that Jesus was the Christ. And he was blessed how? What did Jesus say to him? Today, you will be in paradise with me. So Jesus not only healed and performed miracles, he listened, he shared the gospel, he ate meals with people, he had compassion, he had conversations, he shared wisdom, he forgave, he showed patience, he walked alongside others. All of these actions showed that he loved. Now we'll talk about the blessings that will follow, the blessings that we could see now, or the blessings that will come later. Let me put this up here. Tom is going to come and read Matthew 25. Not the whole chapter.
I'll be reading Matthew 25, 31 through 46, and you can follow along up on the screen if you'd like. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people, one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right, and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick or in prison, and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
Mm. Wow. "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Mm. Mark 12:34. The teacher of the law that had tested Jesus earlier in Luke, the same story in Mark. In Mark, it tells him, when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Wow, what does that tell you? He was close to the kingdom of God because he answered correctly. He knew the answer was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Luke 10. One more. 27. "What is it written in the law?" Jesus said. "And how do you read it?" And he answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." So just think of those things. There are multiple examples of how Christ responds to others and how not just the healing of diseases and the healing of people and performing the miracles, but look at the other little things that are in there of how he responds and reacts to those that are either demanding of him or putting him down. Let's put up, let's see, is that the right one? Okay, so who is our neighbor? That is just a few. Those that break the law, those of different cultures, those in our circle, those that doubt us, those who are our enemies, those that lash out against us, different societal class, physically and mentally challenged, those of the law and government, the one that is sick, the one that is hungry, the one that is unemployed, the one that is wealthy, the one that is poor, the one that is of another religion, and the one that is homeless. In other words, what? Everyone. Everyone that we come in contact with. Last week, Scott challenged us to know the names of three neighbors that we don't already know. Did anybody reach that challenge? Good. I'm not alone. I did not reach that challenge, and I'm not good with names. So I'm going to add that challenge to this week. Try again, and I'm going to give you another challenge. I want you to look for one of these neighbors up there throughout your week, okay? Wherever you go, Walmart, Hanny's, out to the park, going for a walk in your neighborhood, wherever you are, at work, look for one of these neighbors. And I want you to pick an action that I had mentioned before that Jesus exampled here, right? He listened, he shared the gospel, he walked along others, he showed patience, he forgave, he ate meals with others, he was compassionate, he had conversations, he shared wisdom. Are there things that God gives you, that your talents and your gifts that he's given you that will help somebody else? Your experiences with God, your history with God, sharing that can bless others. So I want you to see if you can pick, again, I'm going to stick with the three, okay? Pick three of these types of neighbors over your week and see if you can give them an opportunity to bless, give them an opportunity to be blessed by you. And then two things on top of that, I want you to take that moment and thank God for that opportunity. And I know Scott is watching, so he's gonna get bombarded hopefully this week with texts. I want you to text Scott. You don't have to tell him what you did and share that you just blessed somebody, but I want you to text him and thank him for reminding us of this command to love our neighbors as a church family. And just thank him for that, for bringing that to our attention. So let's close in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this beautiful, chilly morning. We do wish that we were out in the park, Lord, but we know that the timing will be right when it's time. And we do thank you for waking us up today and being able to come and worship freely in this building together as a family. Pray for those that are not able to come today. We just know that you know what's going on in their life, and we know that you're with them. Thank you for Jesus, your son, and his example. His example of how to be, Lord, and how to love on our neighbors, and help us this week walk through our day loving on each other and loving on those that are our neighbors, people that we don't know, to spread your light and your love. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.